I understand we have like some. What's wrong?
Oh no, I was just gonna say, man. I come back from being gone, and these I'm digging these seats, man.
You like these?
I'm digging these seats. You guys like the seats?
Mine's blue. Anyways, hey, I understand we have some new people here, some fifth graders with us today. I welcome all you guys. Yeah, for sure. Give it up. I'm AJ. I'm your pastor. These are two of your leaders, Ethan and Richard.
What up?
They'll be answering questions, and let me just give you a little rundown how things go. The last Wednesday, I know it's not the last Wednesday, but this last Wednesday we're doing something special coming up here. Now it's this Wednesday for just this month. We have Q&A buffet, which basically means you can come and ask any question you want, anything. Anything you want to ask, we'll answer as many as we can in the time allotted for us. So I want to encourage
anything
all you guys who
Bible.
Have your cell phones right now to make sure you text us some questions. We need some. 41411. First word needs to be Velocity ABQ. And then after that, you can ask your question. All right? So you want to pray for us, Ethan, before we get started?
Of course. God, just thank you for the time we get to spend together, God. And, you know, just when AJ's teaching, God, you know, a lot of these middle schoolers just come up with some of these questions, and now's the time to ask them, God, and, you know, just have such an amazing time, and please bless us with all the food that you've given us, God, afterwards, and, you know, let us, not really us answer these questions, God, but you, and, you know, just speak through the three of us, God, and get a lot of these questions answered, and thank you for this beautiful evening, God, in your name, amen.
Right on. So we'll take your text messages. What we're going to do is do a couple of these real fast, and at the end we'll probably just open it up to freestyle so you guys can just raise your hand. Here's how it's going to go, though, tonight. This is a little bit different than how we normally do it. We're going to answer a question, but if that question that I answered raises more questions for you, just raise your hand. Like if I say something and I answer a question and you're like, wait a minute, but what about this? Feel free to raise your hand after I'm done, and we'll answer that question too. Really easy, all right? So it'll be really fun. We'll get to everything today. First question I have here says, did Jesus ever feel guilt when he was on earth? It's a good question, right? Did Jesus ever feel guilty? I'm sure we've all felt guilty in our lives at times, right? Well, I'm going to take you to Matthew 27, chapter 27, verse 45. Also, all you new people here, make sure you always have a Bible, okay? That's something that we're really strict on here. Always have a Bible and a bulletin so you can follow along, all right, which is really cool. So Matthew 27:45 says this. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all of the land. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama, not going to try to pronounce that one right now. That is, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay, so Jesus said, God, why have you forsaken me? So obviously at that moment, Jesus felt forsaken, right? Well, he was forsaken at that moment. Okay, something you need to understand. Jesus came to die for our sins. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you ever sinned, you feel guilty. And if you ever done something wrong, you feel guilty about it a lot of the times. And so if Jesus took upon the... Now, okay, that was just your sin. Like, think of how bad you feel when you do something wrong. Okay, that's just you. Now, imagine how you'd feel if the whole world's sin was upon you. Like, the billions of people who have ever lived on earth, and now you're feeling the weight of all of that. So did Jesus feel guilty? Yes, he felt guilty because of what you and I have done. He didn't feel guilty because he didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't until that moment that he was dying that he took on the sin of the entire world so that we could be forgiven. So he never felt guilty in his life because he never did anything wrong. We know that Jesus was perfect and sinless. However, at that moment, he felt forsaken. He was forsaken, right? The Bible says he was bruised for our transgressions, meaning that Jesus took your punishment, that you deserve that punishment. But because of Jesus' love for you, he came and took that. So he took all of that. He took the pain, the guilt, and everything that has to do with that, which is amazing. So, and we should thank him for that all the time. So did Jesus feel guilt? Yes, but from what we have done to him, not what not for anything that he did. So anybody got a question on that? Piggyback on that? Anything? You right? You sure? All right, cool. You guys Sweet. Got anything to add?
Giddy up. All right, next question, guys. Why aren't there many passages about Christ's youth? First of all, guys, it wasn't really relevant It shows a little bit about Christ when he's young, you know, a couple of scriptures or passages about his, you know, leaving his mother and father and a few other things. But its main focus, Scripture's main focus on Jesus was his teachings throughout his adult life and his death. That's it. And his resurrection. That's it. It didn't need to say anything about his life, you know, what he did when he was a kid. You know, it says one thing, like I said, but the main important thing was about his teachings, you know, everything he taught on, and about his death and resurrection, how he saved us. It's a quick one, guys, right there. Do you guys have anything to add on that? Any more questions on that? No?
Be so quiet, you guys. Peace and goodness. Quiet.
Don't be afraid to add it. If you guys have a question when we're done about something that you think of, just raise your hand. Okay, that's kind of the new thing we're doing, like AJ said. So go ahead, Ethan.
All right, so my question is, why does God get mad at us when we do something bad? First of all, you guys turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Really quick, I'll just go ahead and read it while you guys are turning there. It says, the law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increases all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it says, why is God getting mad? He has grace for us, you know, but we shouldn't take advantage of that grace, you know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't just be like, oh, well, I'm a saved Christian, so I'm going to go do these horrible sinning things, you know? That's taking advantage of it and not using it in God's context. That's just putting, like, doing the old stuff that you used to do before you repented, you know? So, just as, like, if you were to sin and it was, like, an accident and you really, like, ask for forgiveness out of your heart, of course God has grace for that, but you shouldn't just go around sinning and just saying that God will forgive you. So he has grace for us. You know what I mean?
It's good. It's good.
Good job, man.
It's such an important thing, you guys. God is a graceful God. You know, so many times we think, like, when you do something wrong, God's just waiting up there with his baseball bat. You know, like, you're going to get it, right? He's not. He's much more a gracious God than he is anything else, right? And so just like Ethan said, you know, when you mess up, God's waiting there to forgive you. You need to ask for forgiveness, but God's waiting there to forgive you. He loves you that much, but it doesn't give you a free pass to do all these sins, because then that shows that you never really knew him at all. The sign of a new believer is that you're a different person, right? All the old things have passed away. You don't continue on to do those things like the way you used to do them, right? So here's one right here. It says, did God favor David since he was a man after God's own heart? Now, if you guys know this, that's what God said. God said that David was a man after his own heart. Think about that, dude. What an awesome title to have, right, in the Bible. Like, I want to have that title someday. You know what I mean? Like, I love God that much. But here's the deal. Did God favor him? No. Everyone's equal, right? The Bible says that it's impossible for anybody to find to be superior in God's sight. We're all equals, right? But here's the deal. It wasn't about if God loved David more. It was that David loved God more than a lot of us. You see, it was David, a man after God's own heart. It wasn't God who loved David much more than he loves Richard, right? It didn't say that. It said David, a man after God's own heart. So the thing is that David really loved God. David was, you know, and we all know that David had his fair share of mistakes, but at the end of the day, he repented. He turned away from those things he was doing. He loved God. He gave him almost all that he had, right? And he was constantly just in love with God, which is really cool. So did God treat him any different? No. Even though that David loved God more than some of us love God, unfortunately, it doesn't mean that God showed him any sort of favoritism, right? We're all the same. And at the end of the day, when you die, it's about Jesus or no Jesus. It's not about anything else. It's not, but I was a man after your own heart. Okay, well, did you believe in Jesus though? No. Okay, well then it doesn't matter. You weren't after my heart then. Or, hey, you do. Oh, you were. Great. You did all those things. That's great. Those things are fine. But what most important is that you have Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior. So that's that. Anything piggyback on that, guys? Don't be afraid. You guys are like so timid today. Where
don't
is
be scared,
it?
Guys.
Is it because there's new people here? They're all like, the fifth grade what do we do? You guys are going to soon find out that we have a lot of fun here and just like to have fun.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry, what?
No, go for it.
Oh, all right, bro. All right, guess one. Another one says, can a kid or teen know what true love is? Can a kid or teen know what true love is? It depends on what you're talking about, whoever wrote that question, what kind of true love that is. If it's a true love with a relationship with Jesus Christ, or if it's a true love like a relationship with a man or a woman. If it's a relationship with a man or a woman, can you know what true love is? No. You really? you know, compared to, I mean, me, for me, I'm getting married in July, and woo. I can learn, oh, thank you. I can learn all I know and learn as much as I can what the Bible says about relationships and pray, and that's awesome, and God can reveal a lot to me, but I will never truly know, you know, what true love is. As far as another person that's been married 35 years, he's still learning. Or 50 years, even. They can't say, oh, yeah, I've been married 50 years, and I know what true love is. I've been there, done that. You know what I mean? That's just foolishness. That's prideful. So as far as a relationship with Christ, of course, what was the main, most significant event in the Bible that showed us why God loves us? Can anyone tell me? Christ's death, right? Jesus died for us because he what? He loves us. Thank you. He died because he loves us. He loved us so much. He died for our sins. He took the punishment on the cross for our sins. That is the ultimate sacrifice, guys. And that's what true love is. If you ever need to know what true love is, that's what it is. And he died for our relationship with him. Does anyone have any more to add on that?
Who knew? No.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I knew that they weren't going to raise their hands. Just kidding. I still love you, though.
Okay, guys, we're good on that one.
Okay, next question. Is the story of Jonah a true story or just a parable? Guys, it's a true story, and you might be like, oh, well, that's crazy. How could he live in a well for, like, 3 days? Come on. Like, really? But I just want to say one thing that Jesus said. It says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So back to Jonah, all things are possible. You know, God did it, and, you know, you don't really see that many stories nowadays like this, but I kind of have one to tell you guys really quick. One of my teachers at school, they were a Christian, and they actually got shot in the heart and went into shock and almost died. And the way my teacher told it to me, she's still alive, of course, but she just said that God did it, you know? And so I'm just saying, like, our God, for him, that's cake, you know? He can do anything, so.
So, how do you...
Anybody have anything to add on that? You have a question?
Lance. Well, she said...
Repeat it so they can hear.
Oh, wait.
Repeat what he said. He said, what were her feelings, right?
Lance said, what were her feelings like? What did she feel when God did this? I don't know. She told me that she knew it was God. She had this feeling in her right before she went into shock that it was kind of like a feeling of, like, when she prays. That's what she said. So, but that's what happened, so.
Thanks, Kevin. Good one. Okay, check this out. Where was I going to read? Where did it go? Oh, yeah, here we go. How was God born? Okay, well, for two things. Yes, God was born, Jesus. Jesus was born, and Jesus is God. So, yes, Jesus came down in the flesh because he had to, right? If Jesus didn't become a man, how could he ever redeem man, right? We're the messed up ones. We're the ones who, right? Adam sinned, Eve sinned. They brought sin into the world. Therefore, they brought death into the world. Therefore, we needed a redeemer to save us from death. So to do that, Jesus became a man, being born of a woman, right? That's what the Bible says, being born under the law. So Jesus was born. But Jesus in the Godhood, Jesus as being God and not man, before Jesus came down to earth and was born, of a woman, it was never born. Because I'm going to knock this out with another one here, too. It says, does Big Bang Theory exist? Did the Big Bang happen? You guys, if you don't know what that is, let me tell you really quick. Big Bang Theory is just that they believe that before this world was created, that matter collided with matter and things blew up and it sparked like this whole universe. Sounds ridiculous, right? Because it is ridiculous. It is stupid to think that like, bam, an explosion happened out of nowhere someday. And then all of a sudden like planets were created and stars and people and everything else. It's very ludicrous, very ridiculous. But anyways, so here's the deal. For something to be born or to have a beginning, it must have an end. Okay? You and I, we have a beginning. We have a birth date. We celebrate it every year, hopefully, right? Usually. This building has a start date. This building was not in existence for a while, and then somebody built it up, right? Therefore, everything that is man-made needs, or I should say, anything that's created needs a cause. Everything that's created. We've talked about this before, right? Nothing can just be around without having a cause. This book didn't just show up. Somebody wrote it down, put it in a printer, printed it out, binded it, sold it, I bought it, and that's why it's here. It didn't just show up. So the same thing is for God. If God was born, right, then he would have to have an end. But God's eternal, right? Because we have to have something that eventually goes back to the beginning. Because if God's not eternal, I'll get to you in 2 seconds, buddy. If God's not eternal, then think about this. Then we can't keep going back and back. Because if you rewound the time of we're here on earth, right, rewound the clock all the way to the beginning, it eventually go back to the beginning. And so something had to be there before that to create this. So God was not born. God always eternally exists and existed forever. And that's just how he is. That's his state. He cannot be born. If he was born, then that means somebody created God. And then that person's, then clearly God's not God. Somebody else must be God because they created God, right? And we can't just keep infinitely going back and back. It doesn't work like that. There has to be a beginning point. Therefore, we have to have one first uncaused cause, which is God. We have to have somebody who said, okay, I'm going to set everything into motion. I'm going to create this world. I'm going to create it in such a way. And then it works like that. It's so great. And so God the Father was not born. Jesus was born, but he's still God, so he didn't give that up, which is great. He's still 100% God as well as man, so he still exists eternally, which is very awesome and very cool. But and Big Bang, here's the deal. Did God create Big Bang? I don't know. It's crazy to think that God would use chaos to do something in order, right? We see a very ordered world we live in. We see the tides come in, the tides go out. We see the leaves change. We see that it's summertime now. The sun goes up, sun goes down. We see all that order. So it's crazy to think that God would blow something up to make it like orderly, right? And we know that's not true. We know God says he spoke it into existence, right? He's God. He can do that. He can say, let there be light, and bam, it happens because he's God. And so there, sorry, my mic's cutting out. So therefore, I don't think God would use that, right? That's just an explanation that scientists try to use these days. What's up? Yeah, he says, yep. No, he said Jesus dying on the cross, isn't that chaotic? No, not at all. It makes very much sense. Because the Bible says by one man sin entered the world. And so doesn't it make sense that by one man we were redeemed to God? It makes very much sense. It's not chaotic at all, actually. It's very simple. One man sinned and messed everything up, so God said, we need a perfect sinless person to take the place of everybody, to pay for the judgment of everybody. And therefore, God came down as a man, died, laid down his own life, and then took it back up again, and now everything's good, right? Because he died in our place. Yes, Eve did sin first, but Eve was deceived. But it was still sin. But yes, the woman was deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. It says that the serpent deceived the woman, right? And so she was like, I'm so hungry or something, you know, and this like serpent comes up and gives her some fruit. By the way, it never says that it's an apple. It just says, you know, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So anyways, so she was deceived first, and then Adam knowingly, and Adam should have known better. You guys, if you don't know, the man is the leader of your house, right? Or at least he should be. Unfortunately, because of sin, things have changed. But the deal is that Adam, being the husband, takes the wrath for everything that happens with his, within his household. Do you want to add something to that? If God was in the beginning, she says, what was in the beginning? Well, God was in the beginning of this world, okay? Because it says, so meaning, who knows what God did before, right? We know that God is in perfect relationship within himself. That's why there's the Trinity. Because you have to ask yourself, if there's no Trinity, then who was God loving? How does God know how to love if there's no one up in space, but or wherever he, you know, he's, if there's nowhere up in heaven but besides himself, right? I mean, if it was just you, no one ever, you never knew anybody else, where would you know love? Where would you know any of that stuff? There has to be this perfect union within the Trinity that lets love exist, that he has to have been loving somebody to know how to love, right? So that's why we see that. So before the earth, who knows what God was doing? He was just being God. He was just existing. For eternity, right? How, we can't really put a time on that. You just have to say eternity, because you can't say like, oh, like he was chilling for like 5 billion years before he made us. No, it's like eternity, existence, always there. He was existing within himself before he decided to create this world. Okay, she said, so who wrote, like, basically Genesis, you're saying? Like, who wrote down what happened? Moses did. The first five books of the Bible, the Torah, you know that, the Pentateuch, that's Moses' books, his five books. And so God revealed everything, right? The Bible says that everything's written by man through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Basically, the Holy Spirit's kind of telling this person what to write down. And so in the same sense, God said, by my spirit, here's what I'm going to tell you how I made this world. And so Moses just like, you know what I mean, just wrote it down for all of us because it was revealed through him by God's spirit. What's up, bro? Feel free to jump in here anytime, guys.
You're killing it, bro. Oh, yeah. You're blazing on fire, bro.
Exactly. He says, so when I die, do I become eternal? Yes, you have everlasting life. The Bible clearly says that. The Bible clearly says that you get eternal life. Here's the difference, though. God grants us that because of Jesus. It's not as if we'll have eternal life forever. You'll no longer have that sinful nature that you do now. You're not going to get kicked out of heaven. There's not going to be a way for you to sin in heaven. That whole side of you won't even exist anymore, like it was for Jesus, okay? So that's the difference, that because of Jesus' death, simply by our faith, God says, yes, you can live with me for eternity. So yeah, you enter in from this state. Once you die, that's it. You don't have to die, unless you go to hell, you don't have to die again. You know, when you get sentenced to hell, that you'll be there forever. It's like dying twice. But for us, if you believe in Jesus, you'll die, go immediately to the presence of the Father and Jesus, and continue to live on your life from there, which is amazing. Victoria? This is good. Does anyone want to jump in? I mean, I can keep knocking. I can keep doing this. She said, why does Jesus let people go to hell? That was a question.
Why did Jesus let people go to hell? Okay, well, there's a big debate, okay, as far as that God knowing, foreknowing everything. And we can go, there's a whole thing on this, okay? You can come talk to us afterwards when you have a lot more time to talk. But it's not that he let people go to hell, it's what people choose for themselves, okay? Exactly, like I just said, it's what people choose. People make the decisions that they do. People choose to kill people. People choose to not follow God their whole lives, and they essentially send themselves to hell by what they do here on earth. You know what I mean? God gives them clear the message, if it's through a friend or a family member, whoever. God's going to make his message evident to you one way or another throughout your life. And if you choose to follow him, great. If you choose not to follow him, that's your own personal choice. So God doesn't choose you to go to hell. You choose yourself to follow God or not, either hot or cold. You know?
Yeah, just by your decisions. I mean, when you go up there, it's not like Jesus is like, hey, I forced you to do all those nasty things you did. No, you chose to do those nasty things. And he didn't even make it hard for you. All he said is, believe in me, and you're good, right? You're cleansed of all your sin, you can be with me. So God, and here's the thing I once heard someone say, and I love it. Imagine an atheist, right? Denounces God, denounces Christians, hates us, hates that thing, and all of a sudden he dies and goes to the presence of the Lord. Why would Jesus let him into heaven? Here's a guy who spent his whole life hating God's people, persecuting us. Why would he be like, come on in? He's like, no, you know what you wanted for your whole life was to spend it away from me. You hated me. You said I wasn't real. You spent your whole life wanting to be away from me. So now I'm just going to give you what you want, and so you can be away from me forever now. You know what I mean? And that's why today is the day of salvation, my friends. There's no waiting. We shouldn't wait until another day, because if we do not accept Jesus today and we die, then there's no time in heaven to debate your case. Why didn't God stop? That's a great question. Why didn't God stop Adam from eating the apple?
Why didn't God stop Adam from eating the apple? You guys are getting more active now, interactive.
I love it. Now we're... Do you want to do this one?
You want to do it?
I would just say, I mean, I have like a long answer, but he gave us free will.
Amen.
Exactly.
You know, so he's not gonna be controlling of us. He's gonna let us do what we want, but he wants us to love him. He doesn't say you need to love me. He wants it, you know, and so that's part of free will. And so he didn't stop it, because then he would be controlling, you know what I mean? So
that's good. That's exactly. Perfect, because that's the same thing. If God takes over your will, then he's forced you to love him. He doesn't want that. If obedience is loving God, right? If you love God by obeying him, that's what Jesus says, right? You love me, you obey me. Really simple. So if God would have forced Adam's obedience right there, that's not true love. That's forced love. God would say, he would be saying, I'm forcing you to love me. God doesn't want people who force him to love him. Same thing with the heaven and hell question. God wants people who willingly say, I love you, I want to live for you, and this is what I'm doing on my own will, not on anybody else's. Dylan?
Exactly.
Speak up, buddy. But that's exactly. Would you say, why would God make the Big Bang if it took people away from believing with him? That's why he didn't believe do the Big Bang. Meaning
that's
that the thing is that, like we said, that God spoke this universe into existence. I don't believe that an explosion, that any collision of matter and explosive gases got all together, got all comfortable and blew up. You know what I mean? I don't believe that. Yeah, so he didn't do it, so he would never do anything like that. Anybody else, or we want to move on?
Right,
sorry, bro. I can't see.
And that it's okay if you believe in all the
religions. He said, you want to repeat it?
Yeah, he said, is it okay to believe in all the religions in the world, right?
He said his friends say that you can believe in other religions and still get to heaven. Yeah. Okay.
All right, so this kind of relates to your question. Somebody just texted us and said, how do we know our religion is right? And first of all, Christianity is not a religion, it's a faith. You know, we believe in something. We don't just practice these things and hope we'll go to heaven. And the reason I would say that Christianity is the right way, you know, to knowing God is just because before Jesus, I mean, around Jesus' time, right before they were going to kill him, they said, you know, are you the man of God? And he didn't say anything. And so they took him to Pontius Pilate, and Pontius, the big head honcho, you know, big, you know, like, was he the governor or who?
Yeah,
he was the governor of Rome. And he said, are you the man of God? And he said, are you the son of God? And Jesus said, I am who you say I am. And so why would Jesus get hung on the cross and die if that wasn't real? You see what I'm saying? Why would he die for something that's fake? So
I'll give you one more thing I've talked about before. Everything can't be true. That's the simplest thing. There's something called the law of non-contradictory. I tell this to you guys all this time because this is a huge thing for you to know. So pay attention if you don't remember this.
Attention.
You should know it really quickly. Not everything can be right. If I tell you, hey, outside, there's a tree and it's talking. And then this guy over here says, hey, outside, there's a tree and it's not talking. It's just a tree. Okay, we can't both be right. We can't have a non-talking tree and a talking tree at the same time. Either the tree is talking or it's not talking, right? Okay, so if I say Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, Jesus is the only way to salvation, no other person can enter heaven but Jesus, and then all your other friends say, no, dude, but it's cool, you can believe in Buddha and go to heaven, and you can believe in, you can be a Muslim, go to heaven, you can be a Hindu, okay? We have two very contradictory statements there. I say only Jesus, and they say not only Jesus, anybody else but Jesus. So only one of us is right, okay? And so then what do we do from there? Well, we base things off of truth, okay? And this is when you guys can look into this. We've talked about why the Bible is what it is, why we can believe that the Bible is 100% true and accurate, that no other religious writings, not the whatever you call it, the what's the Muslim book? The Quran, excuse me, has errors in it. And so, therefore, if all these other religious writings have errors in them, why would we believe them to be the Word of God, right? I hope that if you read your Bible tonight and it said something like, you know, that was totally, like, proven to be wrong, that you wouldn't believe in it anymore. But the thing is that we can believe every word of the Bible because it's 100% true. And therefore, if that's true, then that's the true God. And that true God says that Jesus is the only way. Cool?
Cool. Which one?
Whatever, whichever, go ahead.
In the front. That means like he was saying, let everybody, no matter what they believe, can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
Let's just have all peace, man. Like, everybody, it's okay what you believe. Exactly. If that's okay for you, that's good for you. And if it's okay for what's good for you, that's good for you. Let's just all be okay, man. That's what that means.
It does.
Really?
It basically means don't confront anybody. Don't go up to somebody and say, hey, did you know that Jesus loves you? And then if you don't accept him, then you won't be able to go to heaven. You know, that says basically don't say that. Basically go up to them and just be like, oh, you believe in you know, the trash can God? Oh, right on, dude. You're awesome. See you later. Like, we have an obligation to tell these people that that's not right.
A lot of people just criticize Christians because we they're like, oh, Christians, they aren't peaceful, but we believe like in a different peace, in a peace through God, you know? Like, that's the only real peace. I mean, you know, it's through God. Do you kind of get what I'm saying? Like, God's the only way through peace, so. And that's why people are like, oh, well, I don't believe that, so you guys are jerks. You know what I mean? So.
Cool. Jonathan. Speak up, speak louder.
No, not necessarily. The Quran does have a lot of... He said, doesn't basically every other religion take stuff from the Bible? Not necessarily. Yes, some does. There's a lot of stuff in the Quran that is very similar, and even a lot of the same people, you know, like...
Abraham, David,
people like that. But once again, something shifted and went wrong, and that's where we need to draw the line and say that that can't be true because these things are not truthful and in order with the rest of the Bible. So a lot of people do take things, and unfortunately, here's what I'll tell you. There's a new thing out there, you guys, basically kind of the whole coexist mantra, the whole idea that, listen, what Jesus said was awesome. That whole part about what Jesus said about loving your neighbor, love that. Let's take that. And that part over there with Buddha said, oh, that Buddha said, like you know, that we should, you know, be self-sacrificial to other people. Let's take that. And they, like, take a big old everything that they want from every single religion and say, this is my religion.
That's called the Baha'i faith.
But unfortunately, once again, we can't. They can't all be true. We can't just pick and choose what we want, because then we lose all track of truth, and nothing is true. It's whatever you believe it to be, and that's not truthful.
Buddy, right there.
Okay, he said that there's a certain star that can only be seen on Christmas and Easter. He said his dad saw a movie or something about that.
A documentary.
Here's what I'll encourage you with. I have a message called Captain or Counterfeit. Or is that it? No, there's another one, though, too, I'm trying to think of. Anyways, it's that one or it's the Christmas message. No, it's the Christmas message. It's called Christmas in September. And here's the cool thing about it. I actually tell you what that star could have been when Jesus was born. There's a lot of
there's a lot of
normal things that happen that we know that certain planets are more visible at certain times throughout the year, as well as certain just eras. And so it could have been then that it was very visible back in at that time when Jesus was born. Or what I love even better is, our God not more powerful enough to make a star just for Jesus to proclaim him?
Exactly. Let's do you. It is a pentagram. Basically, she said her friends at school draw a star with a circle around it. And is it bad? Basically, is your question. That's like he said, it's a pentagram. That's a sign of the devil, of like going into occult. That's occult, occult, like witchcraft, all like black magic. White magic, it's all of the devil. It's all of Satan. Like that's what it looks like right there.
The power of technology, my friends.
Look at that.
God bless it.
So that's what that is. And that's bad if they're doing stuff like that. That's getting into stuff like, you know, like Ouija boards and stuff like that. Tampering with stuff that you shouldn't be tampering with, because that's of Satan. That's evil. So I encourage you to tell them, you know what I mean, hey, that's, you know, don't be doing that, man. Don't think that's cool, because it's not, you know, the Bible says, you know, that's not cool. You know, tell them what the Bible says. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Getting into all that stuff isn't of God. Hey, that's evil. It's of Satan. So make sure you tell them that.
Man, whoa.
Is black magic real? Yes. Because there are demons and Satan in this world. There's demons everywhere, okay? And Satan is the orchestrator of all of that, okay? And they use black magic and whatever white magic. They're called Wiccans. People that think, that do magic, that say it's for good, they're called Wiccans. That they use it for glorifying God somehow, that they banish demons. That's wrong, because it's any magic is bad magic. So you said it's black magic wrong, right? Of course, yes. All that's of demons, and they use that to get our eyes focused off of Jesus, off of the Word, to say He's not real. We can have all these powers. It's a prideful thing. We can get all this power within ourselves, so we can be the powerful ones. We can be the creators. That's what that is. Mm. That's all it is. It's evil, very evil, because that was the first sin that was created with Lucifer, right? It was being pride. He wanted God's power. He saw what God had, and he wanted that.
Same with Adam and Eve. You'll
exactly.
Become like God, this Satan said, if you
exactly.
Eat this.
Exactly.
Right? But at the end of, you know, the end is all going to lead into its demise is hell. You know what I mean? So even if you have power here on earth, you know what I mean? If you don't have, if it's not of Jesus Christ, then it's obviously of Satan,
exactly.
Like Richard said. Who hasn't asked a question?
Josh hasn't.
Josh?
What do you mean, like Wiccans? Yeah. Like, can they use the magic to banish people? No, because they're using magic to do God's work, and that's wrong, because that's evil, like I just said. No matter what they're doing, whatever they think they are doing, they're not doing anything, because it's not of God.
Yeah, as far as how much power they have, who knows? We don't need the thing we need to know about it is it's dangerous,
exactly.
and that our God has ultimate power.
Exactly.
So if we're all like excited about what people can do, God can do way more cooler things. Read the book of Acts. Read about how they cast demons out, how they healed people, how they did all these amazing things.
You know
that's exciting.
You know what's funny about that is God is the creator of them. You know what I mean? So they think they're powerful. God created that power. You know? Just think about that.
Cassidy.
Who hasn't? Cassidy?
Can people actually see demons?
I believe so. Absolutely. If you are doing things, especially bad things like black magic, like where this topic we're talking about, you're doing Ouija boards and all these things that you're tampering with, demons, they're going to scare you. They're gonna scare the pants off of you because you're doing these things and you're trying to whatever, get into these things and dabble with these things that aren't of God, and they can consume you, you know, go ahead.
But I was going to tell you, don't be afraid though.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. If you see something like that, then I would ask, are you getting yourself into something you shouldn't be? Just like Richard said, are you doing some sort of weird occult things you shouldn't be doing? And if you're not, then just remember that God's word says greater is he who is in you than he
exactly.
is in the world. Basically saying that God is way greater and he lives inside of you than any sort of demon that exists out in the world. So don't worry. God has given people power over that. God is triumphant over Satan. And so it's not like we have to be like, oh no, he's going to haunt my dreams. No, Jesus totally wins. So just stick to Jesus and nothing will, right? Jesus said, no one will be able to pluck them out of my hand, right? Meaning everybody that Jesus, who believes in Jesus, Jesus has his hand on and you ain't going anywhere.
Exactly.
Right? Ain't nobody going to steal you away. Satan's not going to come by, you know, at nighttime with a little mask on. He's not going to do that.
I want to say something really quick. I remember when at the beginning of this year, when Paranormal Activity came out, everyone was like, oh my gosh, demons are real, oh my gosh. And so, you know, I just want to say, don't be scared of that. Like, you guys are godly, and you should, like Richard and AJ were saying, God's more powerful. You should be scared of God, not these demons. They look like children to God, you know? They're nothing compared to God, and, you know, you shouldn't be scared of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, you should be more fearful of where you're going, you know? And if you have Jesus, then don't worry about it. These guys have been waiting for a while. What's up, bro?
If God created the world of spam, how big are angels?
Who knows? How big are angels if God created the world? I have no idea. He may have some that are this big, right? Or he may have some that are as big as this earth. We have no idea. We'll know someday. Someday we'll be at a higher position than angels, which is very cool once we're in heaven. So how big could they be? Who knows? That's like one of those questions that are just, you know, you could think about all day.
We don't know.
Wait till you get to heaven.
What's the difference? The biggest difference is that
Well,
I guess you should say a Jew who doesn't believe in Jesus, because you could technically still kind of be that. You could kind of just be like a Jew who believes in Jesus that he resurrected. The biggest difference is that the Jews don't believe in the New Testament. They don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They're still waiting on the Messiah. They think that the Messiah is going to come soon, but it's going to be the Messiah who's going to come the first time. But we know better than that.
Yeah.
We know that it's going to be the Messiah that's going to come the second time.
Exactly. The fifth graders need to go?
Do you guys got to go soon? Fifth grade?
7:30.
At 8:30?
8:30.
Oh, yeah.
That was an hour ago.
We're going to stop in 5 minutes, and everyone's going to be able to eat some food. We don't want you guys to miss out on that.
She's been waiting here in the front.
We only have a couple minutes. Here's the deal.
A lot of people like to get attention.
You guys, number one, I'll tell you a crazy story. I had a guy at work tell me the same thing. I had a guy who are not here. I know I work here.
AJ,
my previous job, I should say.
It was me.
Not when I was a pastor. No, at my previous work, some guy told me that same thing. people can see things without them really being there. There's a lot of things like schizophrenia and other things that cause people to see things. You may, there could be something, but once again, God's got your back, dude. Nothing to worry about. You know what I mean? She just may be trying to say that to freak you out, psych you out because you're Christian, whatever. The point is that God's in control. You know what I mean? You want, or no, right here? Yeah, you in the pink? Did you have a question? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
Right here.
You got 4 minutes.
What was that? The demons were angels. God created everything. God created Lucifer, and God created... Lucifer was an angel. That was his name, Lucifer, in heaven. And all the other angels were all there in heaven. Then when Satan sinned, he took a third of God's angels with him who became demons.
That's what that is. Revelation, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Satan can't create things, by the way.
He's exactly.
God's the creator of everything. Why does God let demons attack? Who's... I can do it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Why... Okay, here's the deal.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
God allows a lot of things for a lot of reasons that we don't understand. But here's the thing that we know. God is good, right? If God is good, then everything God does is good, and we have to believe
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So does God? Why does God let him? Well, here's the biggest thing. The most important thing to know is that God will deal with Satan eventually. Why doesn't he deal with them now, maybe you're asking? Well, because he wants your friends who don't know Jesus, or maybe some of you in here don't know Jesus, haven't committed your life to Jesus, he wants them to be able to repent. Because the day that he does away with Satan, he does away with all people for all over, because we're evil and sinful. So if God wants to bring the end of the world right now, he can, but then no more chance for repentance. You know what I mean? And so the deal is that God does it for his own purpose. Here's the deal. Here's something I once heard, and this will baffle your mind. If anything, let me think about how to say this real fast. If whatever it is that causes us to cling to Jesus more, could it be ever deemed as bad? Meaning, we think earthquakes are bad, but then we think, but what about how much more dependent it makes people on Jesus because of those earthquakes? And so, can that be deemed as a bad thing? When it really it's bringing people to Jesus? Can anything, could you losing your wallet and having no money be a good thing? Yeah, because maybe you're going to sit there and say, God, I completely trust that you're going to get me my money back, or you're going to make something happen, you're going to provide. And look at that, you've now ran to Jesus.
Exactly.
So could those things be bad? No, anything that causes you to cling to God closer is not a bad thing.
Romans 8:28 works everything for good.
Yes,
everything.
And like we said, God's good. We are safe in his arms. Everything he does, we know, has a good purpose for us. This is going to be, or we'll do a couple more. That's a good question. There's a couple things.
There's a lot of places. I mean, there's a
it
lot
was,
of.
It was how did different races come about?
There's a couple of places. One place, I mean, there's a Tower of Babel. There's a Tower of Babel when they were trying to build a tower to reach heaven, and that wasn't glorifying God, so he dispersed them among the earth, among the lands. You know, so that's one of them. Do you have any other ones? There's
a couple reasons. The way that God set things up is that obviously we know that different people who live in different regions of the world look different.
Exactly.
And there's a reason for it, right? And so we know that after... But here's the thing that you got to ask the question of. Well, what about Noah, right? Noah got in a boat. Noah only took a couple dudes with him and some animals.
There you go.
Right? It wasn't like one was an African American, one was like a white guy, one was a Hispanic dude. As they migrated to other places, God has made it so that our bodies adapt. Here's
areas.
The thing you guys got to always understand. We don't believe in macro evolution, meaning that I told you this a million times, that a chicken became a horse and a horse became a duck and these huge things occurred. But we do believe that certain species in certain parts of the world adapt to where they live. That an African bee isn't the same as a bee in America because of the way it lives, the way where it is. And so I believe that as the population grew, as things dispersed, that was part of it. But second of all, God could have just created other people. You know, he's told us everything that we need to know in the Bible. There's plenty of other stuff, though, that God has done and is doing that we don't know anything about. And it'll be revealed to us in heaven, which is great. But Amen. Until then, it's like, you know what I mean? One of those things that you can think about, and it's okay to think about those things, but you can't beat yourself up about it. I'll do one more.
One more. You choose, AJ.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Just kidding.
Psych.
Quick. If you do it quick, we'll do both.
Hopefully. Anyway, go ahead.
He said atheists are ignorant. Are atheists just ignorant? No. Atheists have made a decision that there is no God. They have come to their own conclusion that there is no God. And by the way, Proverbs says the fool says in his heart there is no God. I think it's Psalms, actually. Psalms says the fool says there is no God. So atheists are fools. They aren't duped. They know exactly what they're doing.
Dylan.
The question?
He said, I heard it. He said, did the angels that fell with Satan, were they allowed to go?
Oh, well, yeah, because they went with him. Because they went with him. Because they saw how, you know, they thought, well, I could be powerful. I'm sure like Satan, too. We can get this power. So, yeah, they obviously went with him because they chose to go with him. So
they were deceived. Hey, guys, I'm going to tell you this like I tell you all the time. If you have a burning question that you need answered, we'll be up here for the next 10 minutes. I'm going to pray. How it works, if you don't know, ladies first for the food. Okay, ladies first. Shh. Ladies first, and then I'll let you know when you can leave because you can't leave until 8:30. What? Unless the fifth graders need to leave, then you guys can go with your leaders. Thanks for coming, fifth graders. I'm stoked to have you guys here. I hope you had fun. Did you guys have fun tonight? Yeah? Hey. Yeah? Hey, shh. Hey, sit. We're not
done yet, guys.
I'm gonna pray. I wanna pray, okay? Shh. Father, thank you so much for this meal you've provided for us, all this food, God. And even more than the physical food, God, thank you for the spiritual food. Lord, I love that there's no question. I say this every time, but it's so true. There's no question that any of us have in our brains right now, God, that your word cannot answer. You're so good to us, and I thank you for all these questions. I pray that if everybody would continue to seek their questions out, Father, I thank you for all of the leaders who are here, Father, and I just pray that you would just bless these new people as they come in and bless all of our old friends as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.